In 1950, the department provided new premises for the traffic signal staff at Burwood, originally an old tramway substation.
When I took over traffic signals, being electrical, my main interest was getting knowledge of the operation of this, the electrical equipment, because that's what I was professionally trained to do. I did that, and once I got on top of the equipment, I started to become interested in what we were trying to do, like control of traffic with traffic signals. The equipment was essentially American design, manufactured by the English. All the relays and whatnot were peculiar to traffic signals.
Alan Shaw joined the DMT as a district engineer in the 1960s. What sort of traffic signal equipment was in use at that time?
Basically mechanical, electrical type devices run with relays, switches, timers, mechanical switches that were operated by vehicles going over rubber pads, providing information to controllers, and then the controller sorts out what it needs to do and the appropriate timing and the appropriate switching to change the signals to suit the traffic.
Graham Davis came to Sydney from Rockhampton in 1962 for 6 months to study at the Marconi School of Wireless. He joined the DMT at its Burwood depot later that year.
When I first got there, I was given the job of maintaining the traffic detectors. In those days, they were pneumatic, had a rubber tube across the road, and had a little diaphragm switch in a pit on the footpath at the end of the tube. And these things used to fail fairly regularly. They had to be taken apart, repaired, and sealed up again.
After completing an engineering degree, Doug Quayle started at the DMT in the early 1970s.
From the very earliest days, we had vehicle detectors. We have always had signals that are actuated by the traffic, whereas in the US, even today, most signals are operated by time of day. They operate on a fixed cycle. And so vehicle detectors became a very important component of the system.
When a car is detected in the old form, it was running over the lump of rubber. In the new form, there's a loop of wire buried in the road that magnetically detects the car. The controller notes these facts and says, righto, if we've got a red facing that road, we need a green. So it puts in what's called a demand. When it's suitable time to leave whatever's on green then, it will proceed through amber, which is a fixed time, and red, and go to the green on the new approach. With the rubber detectors, it then allowed a fixed period, which is a minimum green, generally about 6 seconds or thereabouts, and then another period that's resulted from the counting of vehicles, because the rubber detector was a fair way back from the stop line, and it would count up to about half a dozen vehicles, generally at about 2 seconds per vehicle, and they'd add that onto the minimum green, and the green would not go until that total time had passed. Then they'd start looking for gaps in traffic. The gap was generally about 4 seconds that was allowed, and if nothing turned up for that time, it'd say, okay, we can leave the green and go to wherever else it's required. If there were no gaps in a very heavy traffic situation, it went to a maximum green time that we set. So righto, it may be a minute, for instance. When the minute was up, it'd say, okay, too bad, we're going somewhere else now, give them a turn. So it'd change to the new approach.
What would be the result on the traffic signals if a detector failed?
Well, if it's a side street and it's the only detector, whoever's stuck in there is stuck there forever. They will never get a green light.